at 888-931-0901. That's 888-931-0901. And remember, no other radio station in the greater Kansas City area offers amazing bands or music artists like Casey Rausch. So don't let your chance slip by. Call 888-931-0901. That's 888-931-0901. And remember, every cent from the band auction goes to help your community radio station. And we thank you.
Hi, this is Sunshine Dell, and you're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. We'll be right back.
Check. Good morning. It's Labor Day and we're working. Is that the way it's supposed to be? Actually, you know what? I'm going to transfer myself. I'm going to be on mic two. I'm going to the one with the dent that smells like spit. Oh, yeah, that sounds a lot better. I like that. Do you get the sonic difference there, Jake? You got to put your own mic on. It's going to be a learning experience kind of night here.
The ones and twos.
Because some of us aren't even supposed to be here right now. I think that's how that actually works. And if anyone's actually out there, I think you spent the last hour of radio listening to Afrobeat. And my entrance was heralded by Radiohead, which I believe is standard. Would that be correct?
Standard operating procedure.
Is that exactly what happens on a normal basis? Somebody's calling in, Jake. Who is it?
Oh, let's see. Let's pull them up and see.
We're practicing on this. So we'll give live directions to knuckleheads. I'm not going to work the first couple times, Jake. Just see. There we go. Check mark, transfer, line one, go.
I believe he's a hanger-upper. Might be the case.
I don't have one of those P things on there. The puff-puff. You can hear heavy breathing into the...
You want my sock?
No. The last thing I want to do is talk into your sock, Jake. I'm sure it smells like lavender oil or something along those lines. But anyway, if you are out there listening, you have an option right now. You could call in, make the show better, or you could turn your radio off. Normally, you're not invited by a talk show to actually turn the radio off, but that might be a good idea. Man, every time I exhale it, it's a creepy sound.
With headphones on especially.
Yeah, right, with headphones on especially. So let's get situated here. We just kind of came on because the song was ending. Jake, you're down here on the regular now. This is the Paragon Radio program, basically. Is this basically the Paragon Radio show?
It is.
The first hour was Afrobeat and Confusion. And here we are, about 8 minutes deep into the second hour of the show, and it's still, there's not any Afrobeat, unless you can hear what's going on 39th and Main, which is definitely, by the looks of it through the double-paned, bulletproof window glass of the KKFI on-air studios, seems as though there is some Afrobeat going on out there. But nevertheless, here we are in the second hour of the show, and we'll see where... Because it's Labor Day weekend. Which, what the hell is Labor Day, by the way? Does anyone have any idea what Labor Day... It used to be the last day of labor before the children went back to school. Back when they made the children work on the farms and stuff like that. And I'm sure there's still some places that do that. Maybe if you get down in more rural parts.
Like China.
Yes, just like China. Are you over there playing with the phones again? You need reading glasses? Is that just your concentrating face?
Man, I hit the exact button and it...
It disconnected it, right? And then you got to press the green button over there.
Yeah. No, halfway in between transfer and on air, it just stops. All the lights go away.
Did you try pressing the button over there and see what happens? You got to have faith, Jake. Right, and then there's a little thing over there. It's funny, you've been coming down here for so long, and it's like a brand new experience. Well, you connected the phone line at least. Good. You got that part done. So make sure, the green light's off over there? It's the magic of live radio.
Green light is off. Here it comes again. You ready?
All them. It's going to be an inebriated member of the community. Check mark, transfer, line one, button over there. You don't have to press the button so hard. I think that might be part of it. You're hurting the phone over there. Might be part of it. Did you do it? Good morning, you're on the radio.
Hello.
How are you today?
Hey, am I speaking to a seriously flawed individual?
I hope so.
Okay. Hey, brother, where you been all my life? This is Suleiman Saladin calling from the deep woods.
Oh, yeah, the deep woods, huh?
Yeah, from the deep woods.
And, oh, yeah, you're the guy that you're battery-powered and you just live out there under a tarp somewhere, right?
Hey, wait a minute. I told you that? Uh-oh.
I think so.
Yep, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, cool, man.
Well, yeah, you know, I'm getting tired of it, though. But anyway, that's beside the point. Hey, man, you can't be that late for work.
Now, tell me about it. On Labor Day, nonetheless.
Well, I'm not going to say it was, but this is radio, buddy.
Yeah, you're supposed to be on time.
Yeah, you got to be, you know, or have somebody cover for you.
Sure.
So,
well, I had,
anyway.
It was Fela Kuti. We played two Fela Kuti songs, and that was a 1 hour.
Did you ride your bike this week?
Absolutely. I rode my bike down here.
Yeah, with your son, right?
No, I left him at home. He's asleep.
Oh, okay. But you have a son, right?
Yeah, I have several.
Well, anyway, I think, you know, didn't you ride that trail out to, on Cleaver Boulevard?
Oh, yeah, I sure did that.
Well, I think it goes farther. Did you know that? I mean, I'd like to know, because I don't know for sure. I'm at the other end of this trail that they just built.
Oh, which trail is that?
Yeah. It's coming down on the other side of the Blue River.
The Rock Island?
I think that there's Hop the Freight one day, and there's a trail between here and there, and it's between Manchester and either the river or Brush Creek. I'm not sure, because I wasn't really paying attention.
Oh, there it goes.
I decided I was going to do some street theater. And anyway, but anyway.
Us in the artistic community really appreciate the street theater that you do, Suleiman.
Huh? Who does?
All of us in the artistic community here in Kansas City.
You do?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Street theater, it's the only theater left.
Okay. Well, you know, I don't get down there. I used to be down at CrossFit, you know, every day, but I don't get down there much anymore. Yeah,
restraining orders.
So, no.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that.
I ride a bicycle, so. But anyway, you should check it out. I mean, maybe there's no way to, if you go back down that way again, see, you know, it may not be rideable yet because the gravel's big. You might want to check it out. But, I mean, I wouldn't be afraid of the east side. It's not like there's no shooting going on over here anymore.
Oh, that's good to hear.
I know they got the spot shotters going. I haven't. Now, I used to hear, this is, the police didn't even believe it. I used to hear at least 25 shots a night, you know, because they come down and shoot into these woods, test out their guns, right?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. So, anyway, and probably 25 waking up. Seriously.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it.
I haven't heard 10 in about 4 months. It's pretty safe over here, and they got spot shutters. And if they're going to use them anywhere, and you know, they're going to use them here, I think they got one in the helicopter, too. So, and it never was like, you know, the east side, like there's bullets going. People are going to be nice to you, you know, over here. Don't be scared, you know.
Don't be afraid.
There's nothing to be afraid of. And, you know, and your children are perfectly. Bring them.
People sense fear and they react to it.
You know, and tell people, look, you know, the east side starts at truce. You know, seriously. The east side starts at truce.
Which is funny to think that most of the city is actually the east side.
Exactly. It's the biggest part of the city, but boy, there ain't much left. I'm telling you.
No, they're taking it down.
It's decaying before our very eyes.
No, that's true.
Yep.
The east side is slowly being turned into.
Oh, you're breaking up on me. That's all what
right.
it is.
Okay. Well, we appreciate your phone call, sir, and we'll continue the conversation off air.
Okay. Great.
Take care. Because the east side of Kansas City is slowly being turned into police stations. And various geriatric facilities.
I drove past the Freemason Temple today and was appalled at how long their grass was. I mean, it looked disheveled even.
Well, they wanted to get it to about 33 degrees. Right. And then they'll have it mowed by some of the 3 degrees.
The Blue Boys.
Something along those lines. You remember Audrey?
Yeah.
Remember we asked him about the Freemasonic Temple over there on Linwood? or 30, yeah, Linwood and Paseo. And he said, I can't say much to you about it whatsoever, but I will say that the boys over there keep it pristine. Remember, that was his, he's like, I'm not going to tell you much about it, but inside of that temple, it is pristine.
It's quite a structure.
And I've been inside of it, and the floors were incredibly sticky. I don't know what that's about, if that's to slow you down or you can hear people coming or something, but it had some of the stickiest floors that I've ever experienced. But the east side of Kansas City is slowly being turned into various police stations and geriatric facilities, and it's amazing because if you go over to 27th and Prospect, which if you ride your bicycle over there, I do recommend you wear a Kevlar bicycle helmet on your way over. But they took down six square blocks. I mean, an immense amount of property to build the new East Patrol campus, which is a new police station. And it's very interesting that they did that, because if you go just a few blocks in any direction, you come to blocks that haven't existed, literally entire neighborhoods that have blanked out blocks where there are no houses, either standing or with people living in them, and they still tore down people's homes that had folks living in them. And I find myself on my bicycle over there the other day, and I need to get, there's a mystery that I need to get to the bottom of. There's still a few houses that are over there. They're taking them down. And there were guys out pulling shingles off these houses in hazmat suits and bagging the shingles up. And I look at that and I go, okay, I'm clear what that is. They're removing asbestos cement shingles from the sides of these houses. Because it has asbestos in it, it has to be disposed of in the proper environmental way. And since this is being done by the city, I'm sure they're following all the rules and regulations as they see fit to a certain degree. And then I notice they're bagging all the asphalt shingles into these smaller bags, and I go over to just take a peek because there was an American flag on the bag. And I was blown away by what the bag said. The bag said, U.S. Aid, which is the United States Agency for International Development, that was the bag that they were putting the shingles in. And then at the bottom of the bag, it said, a gift to you from the American people. And I was like, where are they sending these asphalt shingles exactly? I mean, think about that for a moment, Jake. Where are they sending these asphalt shingles?
Maybe in a big circle.
Okay. How big of a circle? Like a more of a circumference?
There and back. Man, it's hard to say. You said it needs more investigating. I've heard of government waste and keep busy projects and things like that.
But really, a gift from the American people to you? Asphalt shingles?
Detroit. That's where they're going.
Is Detroit no longer a part of America?
I think they...
That's not a bad point. Do you have any idea that the credit rating of this country would be improved dramatically if Detroit were removed as a community? I don't know that all of Michigan has to be removed. But Detroit's right there on the border with Canada. I mean, you could just carve out a little chunk and give it to those guys and say, you remember all that we've done for you, Canada? Now you got Detroit. I mean, the bond rating of the United States of America would be back to AAA, I bet. You know, we could shave, I don't know, $1 trillion off the infinite debt of this country. And if we were to remove, if we were to get Texas to secede from the Union as well, I mean, the IQ of this country would go up dramatically also. We would be a more intelligent, more compassionate place.
Better credit rating? Sounds like time to take out some more loans.
Absolutely. We can get some new stuff. I mean, there's all kinds of new stuff. And, you know, hey, we could take some money and build some stuff, like bridges to nowhere and curbs to nowhere. That's one of my favorite things, especially if you look on the east side. Now, I mean, I love the east side of this town because it's so much history over there. And unfortunately, a lot of it is being destroyed on a daily basis. I mean, they're just tearing down houses right and left that have fallen into disrepair. But all that American recovery money that got spent rebuilding curbs and sidewalks in neighborhoods that literally have no houses left in them, which is cute. To me, anyway. But who cares? Because that's just little old Kansas City. And everyone knows that where is Kansas City? Kansas City encompasses the Power to Be White District, the Country Club Plaza, for all you out-of-towners. It's not a plaza. Just so we're clear here. You ask somebody where the plaza is, and they're going to look at you really confused. If you say plaza, you only use the term plaza in reference to the plaza if you're making fun of the people on it. And that's totally cool to do. Nothing wrong there. Just don't do it and expect to be taken legitimately. So, essentially, the Power to Be White District to the plaza, on to maybe some parts of Brookside and Waldo, and then everything west of that. That's Kansas City. And everything east of that is very quickly shriveling up and dying. It couldn't be around much longer, I would not imagine. Which is unfortunate, because there's so much over there. But the neighborhood, especially around 18th and Vine, Lincoln High School, on over to 27th and Prospect, where they're building that new police station, because that's the city eminent domaining a good number of people out of their homes, is evaporating. It's going away. As is so much other parts. And, I mean, the Wall Street Journal had an article a couple weeks ago about the Citadel Plaza area, which is about 63rd and Prospect, where they had torn down a bunch of neighborhoods because they thought, I don't know who these people were, some city council folks or some developers, some members of the zoning committee. I don't know who these geniuses were. They thought that if they tore down a bunch of houses on 63rd and Prospect, that Target would build a store over there.
Did they?
No. Nobody's built anything over there. Like, if you build down these houses, it's going to be a Target. Target for what? That might have been how the conversation went. Insert, socioeconomically insensitive phrase here. A Target for, not for savings. Citadel Plaza, completely destroyed. But, I mean, you know, hey, it's just local politics. And, I mean, the city of this town, like the city of so many towns, has a lot of problems, and there's no question about that. And generally it has problems because it's run by people who basically do whatever they want without very little accountability. Very little accountability that goes in to city. I mean, just think about the general apathy of the people in respect to politics in general. And you can only magnify that it becomes exponential when we're talking about local politics. Because most people probably don't even know their city council person. Most people might not even know, you know, the mayor, who their county legislator is, etc. But beyond all that, I mean, goddamn it, it's Labor Day, man. Did we ever figure out what that means, Jake?
We did not.
I'm sure there's lots of stuff going on. I did not do any preparation for this program whatsoever. I was at home watching documentaries on YouTube about people riding bicycles. I was just trying to enjoy my day. Some people are really into riding their bicycles. I'm getting there. I don't think I'm quite going to be... I mean, I do kind of have a little fantasy, Jake, if you don't mind.
The MS-150?
I have no interest in getting multiple sclerosis. To be a bike messenger.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Absolutely. Those people are absolutely crazy, though. Completely maniacal.
Right. I mean, it's,
I watched, what was it? It was called Line of Sight. It's a YouTube documentary filmed by Bike Messengers about alley cats. Alley cats are, you know, races that are done where you have to essentially go to various stages and get signed off and then go to the next stage and get signed off. And whoever completes all stages of the race and makes it to the end first wins. And watching these maniacs ride bikes that have no brakes, that are fixed gear, weave in and out of traffic, go the wrong way down one ways, and drive like absolute lunatics. It's quite awesome, and especially to watch these people, because you're in Manhattan, right? Watch these guys on bikes, you know, get 5, 6, 7 blocks ahead of cars. I mean, just the traffic is, I mean, it's impossible to beat a bike in lower Manhattan. You can't do it.
Right.
Just a long line of cars not going anywhere.
Have you seen that bike rally in New York somewhere where the police officer just linebacker some dude, you know, blindsides him right off his bike?
I mean, that's, you know, Jake, you're getting old, man. That video is from like 8 years ago.
Right. But so I haven't seen Line of Sight.
Some of our listeners weren't even born when that video was shot.
Well,
that was a critical mass bike ride, by the way.
It just made me wonder if that cop hadn't seen enough of the Line of Sight type characters.
Oh, it makes people angry.
Yeah, that he had some kind of PTSD flashback.
PMS. PMS, I think, is what you're going for.
Seeing them all together at that bike rally.
Yeah, maybe so.
8 years ago.
So long ago. But that's what I was doing before I came down here. I mean, there are things going on. What's the big story? The story going on?
Seriously?
Seriously? Seriously? I can already hear the suicide in my head. Seriously?
Just to
seriously?
Give one spoiler. That's the title of it, but I don't use any of those clips.
Oh, really?
You're expecting him.
I was expecting him.
The whole way through. But
seriously?
The title is the only shot that takes.
The shot across the bow. How noble of the president to say that he wants to get congressional approval before he engages the United States military in combat.
Not at all.
No, it's absolutely noble of him, of course. They're saying this harkens back to Truman. We all know how noble Harry Truman was. And, of course, it's funny. You read these articles, and they're like, something that hasn't happened since Truman. When, of course, you know, the Korean War, which was undeclared, began. And while they never declared a beginning to the Korean War, they've never declared an ending either.
No, that's the new game plan. Post-1947 in the national security state, they stopped declaring war and absolutely don't call them off. You know, we still have troops squatting on what we took over in Germany, you know.
They did declare a war there. Well, right?
Correct.
They did.
And they never left. Starting with Korea, they don't declare and don't leave.
You know, but looking at all the developments in the Middle East and observing the absolute fanaticism of their religious folks over there, I mean, you realize, like, we're comparing our Christian fundamentalists here in this country to the folks in the Muslim world in places like the Middle East. I mean, these are like easy bake fanatics here in America.
Right.
These aren't real fanatics in America.
Fred Phelps?
Sure. I mean, those people are, if somebody were to just be nice to some of those folks in that church, you know, and just be like, hey, how you doing? You're a person that matters too. Are you having a nice day? All they would do is start crying and say, we want to get out of here. Yes, I'd love another donut. I mean, those are people that literally just need to be hugged right? I'm not saying I'm the one that wants to hug them, and I'm not advocating you go hug them either. But if you just go, I mean, especially the children in that group, just go like, you are a human being. You have free will and feelings. You don't have to survive solely on hate. But that's such a small group of folks. Literally, all from the same genetic puddle. Such a small... I mean, our religious fundamentalists, our religious lunatics in this country are easy-bake crazies. They're not real... real madmen like they are over there in the Middle Eastern countries. I mean, when they had that Free Syrian army rebel eating the heart or the liver of a Syrian soldier, declaring for all of YouTube to see that we will eat your livers. I mean, he's literally pulling this man's liver out raw. I mean, you would he's saying it's the liver. How do you know, right? They're cutting into a guy. I mean, unless you're a seasoned cannibal. Right? I mean, he might have been on YouTube beforehand trying to figure out where to find if you're going to cut your enemy up on the battlefield to eat part of his body to declare victory over him. I'm sure there's an easy way to do it, and there might be a YouTube clip on how to do that. I don't know. I've never Googled cannibalism on YouTube.
I haven't either.
You got their computer up? I'm just joking. But when you have the freedom fighters, when you have the rebels, you know, when you have the folks going up against the dictatorship of Bashar al-Assad, declaring that their victories will be celebrated with cannibalism, you just start to wonder. I mean, do Christians eat each other in this country? You ever hear that happening? I mean, now the hardcore Christians in America, they just go to coffee shops and read the Bible together and hold hands until they get married. Because it would be inappropriate to do anything else until marriage has been consecrated. I mean, those folks over there are crazy. And I'm not saying that all Arabs are like that. And I'm not saying that all Muslims are like that. Just every single aspect of that world that I see through the TV seems to be like that.
All good Christians eat the body and drink the blood of the Savior. Some would say that's a ritual cannibalism.
Right, right, right. But it's not like the guy...
You're not cutting out Jesus.
Well, right. The Free Syrian Army guy didn't go, I eat the livers of my enemy. But it was actually a piece of chicken that he like picked up. It was like a fried chicken drumstick or something like that.
A hand trick.
See, that would probably be all right. I eat the symbolic liver of my enemy. Because there's got to be something to that. Why would you choose the liver? It's probably easier to get to than the heart. Because the heart, you have to break the rib cage open, right?
True.
And maybe he's probably never seen Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. Is that the correct Indiana Jones? Is that the one where he...
Yeah, Temple of Doom.
Yeah.
Or played Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, he's probably never seen that before. But, you know, it's okay. I mean, why not? And the irony here is this, that the British are not interested in going into some sort of military engagement. Sounds like somebody's about to get effed, doesn't it? A military engagement with Syria. But the French are. The French are down to go.
Why not?
You know why? I'll tell you why. It's because when Obama celebrated International Military Violence Day 2 years ago by flying sorties over Libya to try to destroy, and they eventually, I guess, broke down Muammar Gaddafi's regime over there, he let the French fly the lead mission. See, the French just wanted some respect. It didn't take much. Give them a little respect. And And all of a sudden, this whole, oh, we are opposed to war and moral, they're like, hell yeah. We got an Air Force, too. I mean, in the end, it's not going to provide any benefit. I mean, I was watching the president give his little Rose Garden speech. The day before, he gave a press conference saying that we're not, I mean, there's, a, you know, John Kerry said something on Friday to the effect that we have evidence that it was the Syrian government that did this.
Thousands of sources.
And then we had the president later on in that day come out and say, we need to do something, but I'm still trying to figure out what it is that I want to do. And then on Saturday, he comes out and says, we need to shoot some missiles over there or something. But I'm not going to shoot missiles over there unless I get approval from the Congress. And they were like, you know, this is in our national security interest. You know, this is the worst chemical, biological weapons, you know, chemical weapons attack of the 21st century. He said that. It's the worst chemical weapons attack of the 21st century. And it needs to be met with, I guess, a punishment. I guess we're punishing them. Maybe that's what all those bags of asbestos cement siding is for. Go drop them. I mean, you know what we really should do? We really want to show those Syrians. You know what we should do, Jake?
Ice cream.
No. It's more than that. We should get some chemical weapons. And we should bomb the hell out of that country with chemical weapons.
White phosphorus. Depleted uranium.
Mustard gas, you know, VX, I don't know. What sarin? What do you use? Yeah, it's funny. I mean, the moral high ground is kind of lost. I mean, that would be the thing to do. That's how we handle terrorism, right? Real or imagined? Mostly imagined. Somebody calling in, Jake? 816-931-5534. 931-KKFI will give them directions down to Knucklehead. So I think they're probably wrapping up the evening down there at the old Knuckleheads.
931-KKFI will give them directions down to Knucklehead. So I think
turn your radio down, sir.
The evening down there.
Good morning.
Hello?
Yep, you got to turn your radio down now.
Yeah, this is Suleiman again.
Hey,
no,
what's up, man?
We need to do is find out who made those. Who made those missiles, you know, and that sarin, where that sarin came from, and it's
sure.
Got a chemical footprint, you know, that's what we need to do. All right, bye.
All right, take care. Is that what you want to do today, Dick?
No. That sounds like a similar circle to mailing shingles. E-roofing houses.
Yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting thing because I don't think anyone that's actually paying attention thinks that the Syrian government gassed their own people. What'd Vladimir Putin say?
Show me some proof.
He said utter nonsense, is what he said.
Yeah, or if you have evidence, show it.
Which is interesting. You get kind of the sense that he's very candid when it comes to like clowning America.
Right, he rides the bear.
He has no problem clowning America. Very candid about that. And, you know, I mean, I tend to go, well, you know, maybe he's got a point. Again. Again.
I wonder if he wears Bob Kraft's Super Bowl ring still.
I bet he doesn't wear it. I bet he keeps it on his nightstand. And he wakes up every morning and just laughs and laughs and laughs. Because it is pretty funny. It's 20 minutes into the hour, too. If you want to call, it's 816-931-5534, 931-KKFI. If you have any thoughts or feelings about Syria, what did something else happen this week? Was that all that happened? Am I missing something else? I don't even have my laptop with me. I mean, we're just sitting down here naked.
I think Miley Cyrus got bombed.
Oh, my God. What is that about? Every child that comes out of Hollywood acts like they are a victim of
mind control,
molestation, sodomy, whatever. Do you think there's a connection there?
Yeah.
Did somebody call?
I believe so.
All right, let's go to the phones.
Good evening.
Good morning. You're on the radio.
Yeah, I didn't see the Syrian rebel who ate the liver, but I'm wondering if that was an Alawite, if he achieved the coveted double haram.
I think he would had to have having. I mean, I don't know. It's hard to say. It's a
because
double.
The Alawites drink, so eating the liver of all organs would be probably pretty frowned upon if one were fundamentalist in nature.
Right. Is getting a double haram, is that similar to getting a double mitzvah?
Maybe so, but I'm just wondering if it cancels out. I don't know. I'm not a theologian. But I do want to ask one thing in all seriousness, because I have not heard in all the coverage of this anyone talk about it. You maybe have, but I passed out while you were speaking last week. It's never brought up that we have the concept that we can do an easy kill. Apparently, American warfare has degenerated to the thuggery of assuring us that we won't risk one single life to kill a number of people. And I don't know why that doesn't bother more people. And I will let you expound upon that as I hang up and listen to my radio. Have a wonderful evening.
You too, Brian.
Thank you.
Well, Brian's concerned that we don't sacrifice enough Americans when we go off and we kill foreigners.
This is getting less and less with the drone and robotic nature of things.
But it's not necessarily true. Because in America, we are an extremely violent country. Maybe not the most violent country, but we're pretty damn violent. Think about this. Twice as many people kill themselves, commit suicide, than are killed in murders every year. Did you know that, Jake? Twice as many people commit suicide than are murdered every year. Twice, 100% more. A 2-to-1 ratio.
I thought it was more so the case. I didn't realize it was doubling.
Yeah, a doubling. And that people who are veterans of the United States military are twice as likely to kill themselves as are members of the general population. So maybe the answer to Brian's question, a concern, a moral concern, or maybe it's not a moral one, maybe a parity concern, that if we're going to go kill people far away, that we should at least be willing to spill some of our own blood, which we have. There's no doubt about that. I'm sure between Iraq and Afghanistan, we're getting awfully close, or we have surpassed 10,000 people. Now, I'm sure the numbers of people who have been killed in those conflicts that come from Iraq or Afghanistan, I'm sure it's a much bigger number than that. We're not talking about direct parity, because I don't think that's the point. But to answer Brian's question, we do sacrifice plenty of our own. But instead of being killed by the enemy, we create, or the policy of warfare has created a situation where the soldiers come back and kill themselves. And I would imagine, for the most part, that soldier suicide comes from an inability to readjust to a non-military world or a non-combat world, right?
Right. It's,
I would say a normal world, but what the hell does that mean? I mean, literally, I mean, you can feel nice and comfy about the fact that we're not in Egypt or Damascus or wherever, but there's warfare going on in Kansas City. It's just that you can get in a car and drive 10 minutes and be in a Walmart, too, and see another type of warfare, and go to a McDonald's and continue to see another type of warfare. It is literally all over the place. Is there somebody on the phone?
There is.
Should we talk to him or just see if it's a busy signal?
Ready, you go.
Good morning, you're on the radio.
Oh, this is Russ checking in from downtown.
Hi, Russ. I thought you would have the day off today.
Well, you know, I signed up. Well, I don't want to bore you. I signed up for my holiday.
All right, good for you. You're taking some Ukrainian national holidays off, aren't you?
Actually, there are some Ukrainian national holidays going on right now.
Oh, sweet.
That's very germane, I guess, to the conversation. But I wanted to talk about Syria just for a second or two. I think there are three primary reasons. The first one is obviously the defense industry needs to, you know, I think they're worried about their shrinking bottom lines. I think that's the primary reason. The second reason is related to oil and the value of the U.S. dollar. And the third reason is obviously to protect Israel.
Well, I understand, and I've heard the Israel argument, but in reality, Syria was a stable partner for Israel's borders. I mean, with the Assad regime in control, then the Golan Heights were essentially safe, and they didn't have anything to worry about, because Syria is going to, as they have been for the last 2 years, fight anybody who's rebelling against their rule. Right? And that would ultimately benefit Israel because, you know, the Assad regime is not going to start picking a fight with the Israelis.
Well, I look at it's kind of interesting to me that if this is such a big crisis, you know, I guess Obama has the power to do it. I'm not 100% certain, but you know, why didn't he call an emergency session of the Congress? Well, I'll tell you,
of course
I just read
he has
today
the power
was
to
that,
do that
they didn't do that because it's a Jewish holiday, which I find very interesting.
Oh, is it Passover?
Well, there's some Jewish holiday this week.
What
holiday coming up?
I don't know. I mean, really, do you think that's it? It's not like
I just found that. I just found that odd that it's such a big crisis, and then you know they've got to wait until after the Jewish holidays before they call Congress.
No, I don't think it's a Jewish holiday. I think it's Labor Day, man.
No, it's Jewish. I just read that today. I think it was online New York Times.
Rosh Hashanah?
Maybe that's it.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Well, Jake can look it up there real quick. I didn't get this from Stormfront or someplace.
Well,
I got this from the mainstream media, whatever.
But you get that the logic is a little Stormfront, right?
Well, yeah, but you know, here's the point, though, that you know, you talk about it, but, you know, Netanyahu was basically saying the U.S. has to do something. And you've got, you know, I mean, let's look at it this way. You know, what happens if there's a spillover from Iran, you know, where something happens and U.S. launches an attack against Iran? Now, that's certainly what Israel would like, to wipe out their nuclear facilities.
Yeah, but we're not, well, right, but we're not talking about a wipe out their nuclear facilities attack. And would Israel like that? If Israel would probably suffer fallout if we were to start, you know, cruise missiling, you know, the nuclear reactors, what is the name of the nuclear reactor? I'm thinking Dimona, but Dimona's the one in Israel.
It's a different one, but whatever.
The enrichment facility that was Russian built in Iran. If that was to be struck with a cruise missile or some other type of Tomahawk or whatever they would use by the American military, that could potentially put a nuclear fallout cloud right over Israel. Why would Israel want that to happen?
Well, I'm not saying that, you know, I mean, I'm just saying maybe in the confusion, you know, the fog of war, things might happen. But, you know, you can go to the Jerusalem Post or whatever. I can't think of his damn name. It might be Franklin. There was a retired U.S. Military person that basically said that there was definitely a tie-in with maybe Mossad. You know,
with the chemical weapons
going on here.
No, and a lot of people are going, why would the Assad regime use chemical weapons against its own people? Because its people are going to be allies in this fight against these al-Qaeda sympathized foreigners that are flowing in from all over the Muslim world on CIA jets to fight the Assad regime.
It really doesn't make any sense at all. I mean,
right.
I don't think Assad is that stupid. I mean,
His father, who was much more brutal than him, never used chemical weapons. Even when they had serious rebellions and uprisings in the early 80s, they never used them because they knew it would be incredibly unpopular to do because of the brutality of them. I mean, that's just the situation there. I think Syria does represent, while they don't have the same natural resources that Iraq or Iran does. They do have geography. And Qatar is very interested in sending a pipeline right through Syria to send natural gas on its way to Europe by way of Turkey. You have a big interest in, Israel has a big interest in offshore, under Mediterranean Sea oil pipelines that they want to flow through their geography to go through the Suez Canal on its way to India and China. There's a lot of interest there. We're not necessarily talking about the natural resources of Syria being coveted, but the geography, because Syria does have a pretty big Mediterranean coast.
Well, did you notice how quickly the price of gasoline jumped 40 cents?
Well, I mean, it's also Labor Day weekend.
Well, I understand that, but it just jumped like crazy.
Well, sure. I mean, but, you know, to be fair, it is Labor Day weekend. To go back to the whole Jewish holiday conspiracy. I mean,
it's not a conspiracy.
To say that Obama didn't call a joint session of Congress together because it was a Jewish holiday.
That's why I just read that today.
Right. I mean, right. I'm just saying. That's a bit of a little conspiratorial blame.
How is it a conspiracy when it was just...
Because
I just read that
already,
in a reputable...
Because they're already in a break. They're already out of session because it's Labor Day. They're already on break.
Well, I understand that, but I'm just telling you what I read today. I should have bookmarked the article. I'm sure Jake can find it there quickly.
Right. I don't think it's because... It's like a gangster move. He comes out, he says... This war, we have to do something because we're not going to let the biggest chemical weapons, you know, massacre go unpunished in the 21st century.
That's a big lie.
We're not going to let it go unpunished. Well, the biggest one in the 21st century. We're not going to let it, unless you count all the stuff that we did in places like Fallujah and stuff. But that's not the point. That's what he said. We're not going to let it go unpunished. We have to do a shot across the bow or whatever he said. And it's the national security interest of the United States, which may be true because now we're talking not necessarily about the domestic nature of our national security interest, but the economic resource nature of our national security interest over there in the Middle East, because there is no doubt Middle Eastern oil is considered to be part of America's national security interest. I mean,
it goes back to Carter, but
I don't necessarily agree with that. I don't think I'm not arguing in favor of that right now, but that's what he's saying.
He just put us in a box that we can't get out of now.
But Russ, right. The point is he says we need to do all these things. I'm going to ask Congress for authorization to do them. It's very important. We need to get this done, but we're going to wait 2 weeks to even ask the question of whether or not we're going to do it. So it's basically saying, you know, we need to do this. It's really important, but it's not really important. You know, it's
coming out like you said,
very
like
big mixed signal right there, and it's kind of just, you know, like I don't care. It's got like a little swagger to it. You know,
All right, I'm going to go so I can go find some oil or something.
All right, take care, Russ.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, the Wikipedia list for the year 5,774 on the Jewish calendar. They don't list anything between Tuesday, July 16th, Tisha B'Av, and Thursday, September 5th, as the start of Rosh Hashanah, whatever.
Well, the break, the congressional recess, lasts until the 9th, I believe. So is there anything coming up then?
The 14th is Yom Kippur. The 19th is...
So it's a mystery Jewish holiday. Good morning, you're on the radio.
Yes, Mike from Lawrence.
Mike, you're still out there, man.
Yeah, I'm still out here.
Good for you.
Yeah.
You can still afford a phone. That's good, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
How's everything out in Lawrence? How's everything in Larry?
Oh, livable. Livable. We don't have any blood feuds going on here yet.
Well, the blood feud was settled 150 years ago by Quantrell and his Raiders, right?
Well, I guess that one was. The most recent one in the Middle East is still ongoing. It has been for what? Since so many hundreds of years after, well, almost immediately after Muhammad died, and different people went their different ways and began taking parting shots at each other, right up to the Iraqi war where they were blowing up each other's mosques, and now it's moved over to, you know, Syria with the meddling of the Russians helping. I wonder what the people over there think about the Russians, if they hate them as much as they hate us, because I have this feeling that no matter what we do or they do, they're going to hate both of us.
No, I think they probably like the Russians because they're just like America, but there's a different flavor there. They're not America. They're big and powerful. Well, they offer a lot of resources and aid, but they're not the good old U.S. of A.
Yeah, and they have movie theaters they can take over, and they did, after all, fight them to some degree in Afghanistan before we got there. Yeah, I think the situation with the Russians is the Russians, one of the prime reasons they were in Afghanistan was to get a pipeline to a port that didn't freeze in the winter, which didn't work out so well for them. And I do know that they ship oil products through Turkey to get it off land.
Right.
And I wouldn't be surprised if they have other ideas in mind for pipeline routes to get to ocean-going vessels. They have their interest, I suppose, and of course they make money